Jesus, Heiland meiner Seele, lass an deine Brust mich fliehen, da die Wasser nicht erlangen und die Wette höher sehen. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Wer mich in den Leben stürmen, bis vollendet ist mein Lauf, führe mich zum Siegerhaufen, nimm dann meine Seele auf. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Andere Zuflucht hab ich keine, sagen hab ich nur auf dich. Lass, oh, lass mich nicht alleine, hebe her und stärke mich. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur zu dir steht mein Vertrauen, dass dein Leben mich erschreckt. Mit den Schatten deiner Flügel sei mein wehrlos Hauptbegehr. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnade um Gnade, volles Sehnung, sind in dir, o Jesu mein. Lass die Heilung mich bestreben, nimm gereinigt mich hinein. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja des Lebens Quelle, die den Durst auch ewig still. Sei der Born in meinem Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quillt. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben there's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will die till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. No night so dark that his love cannot cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Did ever a saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one, no, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will die till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Was ever a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us the bliss of heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will die till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one.
You travel down Las
Road, he is with you every day. With every step that you take, he walks ahead of you. And every night as you lay down, angels are camping all around. You'll never be alone, for he is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Where to our prayer gathered in his name, he'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, he'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. Into a prison they were thrown. Paul and Silas weren't alone. They knew their God was there and he would see them through. As the walls began to shake and their chains just fell away, they cried, "Behold our God, for he is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Where to our prayer gathered in his name, he'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, he'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst." coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the pain. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Jesus made a well at Calvary for healing, cleansing, and victory. How its joy overflowed, no tongue can tell. I thank God for the well. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the faith. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Blessed is the fountain in a barren land that satisfies the thirst of the inner man. No better place could be found to dwell. Oh, won't you come to the well? Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power, sweet is its faith. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the fountain, sweet is the faith. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Standing somewhere in the shadows,
you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the redeemed,
by his side I shall stand.
I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him. As redeemed, by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
He is trembling out a vantage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
It's all in a nutshell. He just continues on. Back in the early 90s, the Lord found me in that dungeon, that Hutterite prison. And all he had to do was give me one scripture, one faith, one baptism, and one God. And I had enough brains to know it wasn't that one faith that I was in. That Hutterite thing was not that one faith. And then that put me on a journey to find that one faith. It's been a lifelong journey. And I found it eventually. I had to lose it all to find it, though. What's that scripture we had the other day? Oh, here it is. Matthew chapter 9. We'll start 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's the condition of that so-called church world out there. Then said he unto his disciples, as the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I'll try a different translation. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were bewildered and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. That was back then. And now, today, we're in the same scenario. You look around you, there's people out there. They're just as lost as they were back then. They're still out there. Don't know whether they're coming or going. They're stuck up in the religious prison. There are prisons of all kinds, and they don't even know it. At least you and I, when we were in that compound, we found out one day we need help. We know we're in the wrong system. We knew that. Mm-hmm. That's step number one. And once we knew that, then we had to work our way out of it. And that's what put me on the journey. There's one faith, one baptism, and one God. And I found that one faith right at the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. I found behold, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, it's all about those seven stars that Jesus had in his right hand. And then John turned around, he saw Jesus standing there with seven stars, and then Jesus went on to explain, the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, they are the seven angels throughout the grace age, the seven church ages. And that's it. And then before he went to Calvary, he said, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. If you are not interconnected with these seven stars, you do not have any scripture to back up that you're going to have eternal life. Because this is eternal life, that they believe on them, he will send. And he knew exactly, he knew what the program was, and here we are, and the church age of Laodicea, and we had an angel, and that angel that found the vocal cords of Brother Brenham, and now here we found that faith, that one faith that the Bible talks about. One faith, one baptism, and one God, and we immerse ourselves into it, and then we just moved right with it. The truth keeps marching on, but see, we missed it in that compound that we're in. That all these compounds, all these religious systems they're engineered by Satan to keep you away from that one faith, that one baptism. And when I found it, guess what? That soda mitishamea of that satanic thing, that religious system, that spewed me out. They cannot handle truth. And they got rid of me and they told me, you got till sundown to get out of here. You're not going to sell us your garbage. We just kept moving on, but today we got it. We found that one faith, like I say, but it cost us everything. We had to lose it all to find that one faith, and now we got it, and now we can do what it says here. Now we can tell people about it. And pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. Now you and I, we qualify to do this very thing. And that's what we're doing. We're working overtime. We're doing out these. This is now the age of the internet. And then the Lord, back in the day, he gave me this commission. Then he put me on this journey. And then one day he woke me up around 5 o'clock. I want you to start up a website. And now, like I say, it's the age of computerization. And it goes into every country in the world, every continent. And now we're doing exactly what it says here. The harvest is few, but the laborers are few, but the harvest out there is plentiful. And he told me, just put up this website. If somebody out there that has a hunger and a thirst for reality and for truth, I will bring them to it. That's all you and I have to do now. We got it good compared to what Brother Branham, look at what Brother Branham had to. He had to travel all around the world. And then when he left, Brother Jackson, he had to do the same thing. The things that they had to go through. And here, you and I, all we got to do is sit the two of us here because we're the same mind. And all we got to do is put it out there. Whosoever will, let him come and partake of the waters of life freely. I keep saying it over and over. We got it easy compared to what people in the past have had to go through to labor 24/7 for 40 years, Brother Brennan preached. 40 years, Brother Jackson, labored, and here we're just, we got it made. We can sit here every morning and put it out there on the internet, and whosoever will, whosoever has a hunger and a thirst for the truth and for reality, and if you're not interconnected to that thing here, you are not going to make it. It's just that simple. And we just want to kind of continue on that same subject the other day when we about our trip. We took this trip because the Lord had been dealing with me forever and a day to go down and visit that guy in prison that shot his wife. And then we did that. We left here last Tuesday, I guess, and we got there around 8 o'clock in the evening, and then we got to spend time with that hermit. And see, we're on our way down. We thought we just have to go down to the prison, and they're going to roll out the red carpet for us. But it's not that way. Once we got in the car, and once we headed south, then the Lord began to deal with us. First, you got to go see his son. And his young boy there, and he's 33 years old now, but he was just young when all this episode happened. And then we went, the first thing we took a beeline, we found out where he's at, and we got his number, and then we made contact with him. And we went to his house, and they told us, you have to fill out this form here before you can even as much as go there and visit him. And then you have to be on the visiting list and all that. But we got all the red tape done, and then we did everything that we knew to do to go see that man in prison. Now we got to wait for 2 weeks to go down there if they approve us. If they don't approve us, well, we'll just keep doing what we're doing here on a day-to-day basis. But on that journey, we continued on. And the next day, I went to see that Leonard Decker there. I used to know him back in the day, you know, that on the journey, I ran into a lot of people on the journey. I ran into that Dave Wilder, and we were on the same page, you know. I'm just coming out of that dungeon, out of that Hutterite dungeon, that prison, really, it is a prison. And on the journey, the Lord put me on the journey, and on the journey that Dave Wilder, he had already been terminated years before that, and we connected. And over the years, we've kind of had a little bit of contact with each other. But anyway, on the journey, I ran into that Dave Wilder. And in fact, I stayed at his place there. I went to his church there for a while. But see, back then, we were on the same page. And then that's where I met that Leonard Decker down at his place, down at Steinbach there. And then got acquainted with him and his wife, and with that Leonard Decker, we were all on the same page. That's where I had become in my journey along the road of life. And then he wanted to go to that, he just left the colony too, that Leonard Decker, mm-hmm. just shortly before that. And he wanted to get that book from that Danny, you know, that Hutterite book where it tells about J.K. and his crooked deals. So we had to go to Lakeside. So I said, let's get in my car and we'll go down to pick up that book from that Danny guy from Lakeside. It was Lakeside at that time. So we went there, and on the way there, the Lord just moved on me. Just let Leonard do the talking. You just stand back and you have his back, so to speak. And I'm just talking plain here now, because that's the only way I know how to talk. Like I say, on the way down there, just let Leonard Decker do the talking with that Denny guy, and then you just have his back. The Lord already knew what we're going to encounter there, and he's going to need me to have his back. Anyway, so he drove down there, and the first thing that Denny guy did, he figured, if you're not a Hutterite, you're lost. And of course, he asked his Leonard Decker, how come you left the colony? How come you're not in the colony? And, you know, that Leonard. And so he tried to tell his testimony, what he had to go through. And he wasn't getting nowhere with that old block, with that honey guy. And he's trying to give his testimony. He had a real good, powerful testimony there that Leonard Decker did. And then, like I say, that Denny guy, he just can't see nobody outside of the colony. He figures it's all got to be within the confines of the community, or whatever you call it, or the cult, or whatever. Anyway, so that Leonard, he got so frustrated with the guy, and then he said, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're not born again. Just that simple. And then the guy got, like, you could see the devil in his eyes. Are you trying to tell me I'm condemned? We stood be a do so nicht be verdammt? Well, that's not what he said. He just said, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're not even born again. Well, If you're not born again, you are condemned, really. And I, that's when I stepped up to the plate, and I had his back. And like, he got off his chair, and he went straight towards that Leonard Decker guy. It was a, quite a scene there. You could see the devil in that Danny's eyes. He was just, oh. And then I took over, and I had that Leonard Decker's back, and then I started talking. I don't even know what I said. I said, he did not say you're condemned. He just told you the truth. Something like that. I don't know. And then Danny, he just fell back in his chair. And but it was a demonic episode there. And we experienced that. And that's how I got to know this Leonard Decker guy. Like I say, we were on the same page at that particular time. And over the years, I kept in contact with him. And then one day, I kept moving on. Like I say, we were Dave Waldner and Leonard Decker at that point in time. We were on the same page. That's where I was at. I had just come off the colony. I had just been terminated, and that's where I was, and that's where they were, and all three of us were on the same page at that particular time. But see, the Lord had given me a scripture back in the, when I was still in the compound, and he gave me a scripture, one faith, one baptism, and one God. And as I kept spending time, I felt in my heart I need to move on. And then this was not that one faith either that D. Waller had, because I saw some things that I couldn't allow myself to be identified with. And then the Lord moved beyond, and eventually I come to the ministry of Brother Branham. And then the first thing I did, I wanted the Waller to come along with me. So what I did when I come back from Vancouver, I made an appointment with him. I said, Dave, I want to talk to you. So we went met at the Smithies there in Steinbach, and I'm telling you how this thing works. And then we went out for coffee, and he was sitting there waiting for me. And he asked, I said, I have a question to ask you. He said, well, sure, why not? I said, did you get baptized out there in Vancouver? I said, I sure did. In fact, that's what I want to talk to you about. God has moved me into that place where God sent the prophet. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. When you come around here, around my place, you make sure you're within 10 miles from my property, because I don't want you around. Well, see, that's his thing. See, I kept moving on, but that Dave Waller, he didn't move on, like the truth is marching on. And he knew about these Brenhamites, and he vehemently opposed that whole Brother Brenham message. But see, for me, I got that scripture, it's one faith, one baptism, and there I found that one faith and one baptism, and I had only one passion, is to go back and tell these people that were benefit, that I was touching base with at that time, and we were on the same page, and I wanted them to come and move on with me. Because I knew it was that one faith. I knew I was on the right track, so of course. What you do, you want other people to be the same, on the same page. And then, but he didn't want no part of it. And of course, we parted separate ways. And he went and started up his radio ministry and all that stuff. And then that COVID came and took him away, you know. But going back to that Leonard Decker, we were the same page too. And then once I found about Brother Branham, and then I found about Brother Jackson, so I was going down to convention by myself, so I stopped in that Leonard Decker's place down in South Dakota, and I invited that old Leonard. I found this here truth, and I want you to come down with me. I'm going down to convention. Why don't you just drop everything? I'll pay all your expenses, are all paid for. All you gotta do is come and I'll show you what I found. And I couldn't get him along. He wasn't interested in coming along with me because he had other things going on. He wanted that material things. He had ambition to build this big empire that he's got there now that we seen last week when he went down there. Oh man, a multi-millionaire 10 times over. And see, back then, like I say, we were on the same page, but I kept moving on. The truth keeps marching on. And then I immersed myself, and I put all my effort into pursuing this truth from Brother Jackson. And I just kept on going. And then he put all his effort into becoming this business, this great business venture that he's on there. And tell you, and then that's why I wanted to go down and make contact with him to see where he's at spiritually speaking. Because back then, he was not interested in going down to convention. And then, like I say, he went down that path of materialism and things like that. Now, I was actually shocked to see what he's got all there. He's got this big rental thing in town there, and he's got this big out of the farm where he lived back then. And, oh, man, he's got big business making steel, and the buildings are there, and it's just everything up to snuff. Because that's what he wanted. That's where he put all his baskets in. All his eggs in that basket, and I put my eggs in that basket, pursuing the things, that one faith, what one baptism, and that one God, and now we can actually truly do this here, exactly what it says here, the harvest is, pray that the Lord of God, that he'll send laborers into his harvest. Now you and I, we qualify to do that, because we found that one faith, because that's the only passion, only desire that we had, and then we immersed ourselves into that, and we found it. Now we qualify to go back and tell people that. And but see, the fish don't, they're, when you're caught up in materialism, the things of God, they don't attract you. They don't do nothing for you. The materialism snuffs out the things of God, and then you're going to start forming up your own idea, your own religion, and all it ever becomes is just another synagogue of Satan, no matter how you look at it. Because the blueprint was written before the foundation of the world. All you and I have to do is step into the things that have already been firmly established before the foundation of the world, and we just happen to tap into that.
That's right. And people like it. They have big dreams, and a lot of people, they fulfill their dreams. You know, we listened to a testimony at one time where this guy, he was in aviation, and he wanted to have a dream of flying, and he had certain dreams that he wanted to attain in that flying industry. So anyway, one day he came to the day where he will reach that goal, what his final dream was to reach. And he said, you know what, be careful what you dream, because they're not, it's not as it is panned out to be. Mm-hmm. Once you've reached that height, that's a very scary place to be, because you don't know what you're going to do after that. Once you've reached that dream, mm-hmm. you can either it's a very scary place to be, especially without the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And there you can see that dreams, when you fulfill them, they actually are not really what they panned out to be. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in it, there is all the fulfillment a person will ever need, have, or want. If they find that place in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like that song said, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And when you have Jesus, those dreams, and you can have dreams, you know, but if you have Jesus, then those dreams will become secondary. And if he so chooses you to walk that way, then it will happen. But if not, then those dreams can actually become a burden to you, and after a while they can actually destroy you in the end if you're not careful about those dreams.
Amen to that. Heavenly Father, we just want to come into your presence once again this morning, Lord, to give you thanks for another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord, for most of all, Lord, for opening up your word to us, and for allowing us to work for you, use us for your honor, and to be used of you, to use us for your honor, for your glory. Here in these closing days of time, you've given us a truth, and you've given us a proper faith. Now we can go out there and tell people about it. We just pray you'll open up the hearts of the people, Lord. Because if you don't open up their hearts, Lord, everything we're doing here was in vain. And I just pray, Lord, you'll give us the grace to stand in the gap for them, because we realize we don't have that much time left to tell people about this, Lord. And the only solution that we have for all these people that we run into, and all these Hutterites, and all these people that are, they're lost, they're steeped in religion, Lord, and there's only one solution left. Lord, we just pray you'll use us to stand in the gap for them, because there's no more time left for them to get educated. It took us 30 years, 30, 40 years to get to where we are today, and here we're the closing days of time, and we're talking to the people that are so steeped in religion that are lost. And Lord, we just pray you give us the grace to stand in the gap for them, because there's absolutely no way that they'll be able to get what we're trying to say here. We just pray you'll open the hearts of the people, Lord. We just pray you'll continue to use us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And like I say, if we don't stand in the gap, there is absolutely no way that they can get themselves ready, because we're living in an hour of time where it's utterly impossible that they're going to find it. It took us 30, 40 years to find what we have today, and now we expect them to get it. They don't even realize when they're in these cults and these religious systems that they need help, that they're in a prison of their own doing. That whole Hutterite nation, it's in a prison. It's the same thing as that guy that we wanted to go see. At least that guy, he knows he's in a prison. But the Hutterites, they don't even know that they are in a prison. And that's the same thing with all these religions out there. These people that were sitting under that Dave Waller's ministry, they didn't realize that they were sitting in a cult, that they were in a prison of that Dave Waller's making, because that Dave Waller, he refused to walk on and he refused to move on. And like I say, when that COVID came through, and about 2 months before that COVID hit, the Lord gave me a scripture, Psalm 91, and I did, when that pestilence come, it will not come nigh your dwelling. And the Lord knew that COVID was coming, and then he prepared my heart 2 months prior to that, when it comes, because I didn't know what's coming, but he did, and he gave me Psalm 91, when the pestilence will not come nigh to your dwelling. I think he gave you the same thing.
Oh yeah, I had a dream. I was dreaming. That was before that COVID even hit. I didn't even know why. But I had a dream. All the books of the Bible were on a shelf. They were all lined up. Even the books of Psalms, all lined up. And there's one book that came towards me. I was wondering, what book is that? It came out of the shelf and came towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it. It said Psalms 91. And I thought, I will read that passage and see mm-hmm. what it says. And there, and I, when I woke up, I took my phone and I went to Psalms 91 and I started reading. And it says, no pestilence will come near your dwelling. And I told you about it. And after that, and then that COVID started coming out and everything, and then everybody was up in arms about it. And then, and we already, the Lord had already given us Psalms 91, that no pestilence will come nigh your dwelling, and it didn't, you know.
And then, yeah, and then it went through, run around the world, that pestilence came. And here what God was doing, he was testing people if they have the proper faith.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, that COVID camp to that Dave Waller's camp, and it just took him away because he didn't have the proper faith. I hate to say that, but the proof is in the pudding. If he had the proper faith, then he would have done, God would have done for him what he did for, he would have given him Psalm 91. He probably read Psalm 91. But it's when God determines whether you have the right faith or not.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he didn't have the right faith. That's why I got away from him and I started pursuing the things of God. And like I say, once I found the true faith, the first thing I did, I made an appointment with him when I came back from Vancouver, and then just to try to share with him. But he got vehemently mad and he opposed me right to the end. Well, God heard it. God knew all about it. And that COVID came in and took him away. And he couldn't, he had his dream about his ministry. But these people, they're in the prison of their own now. Now he's gone and they're still holding on to the things he's done. It's a prison. It's a cage. It's just like a Hutterite cult. It's all these religions out there. They're just cults. They're just prisons of their own doing. And like I say, we went down there. We wanted to see that Herman guy that shot his wife, to see him in prison. And but on the journey there, I found out, really, it was a real eye-opener for me. There's more people outside of the walls, and they're in a worse prison than he is. Yeah. He at least knows he's in a prison. But these Hutterites and these different religions, and all these religions, they don't even know that they are in a prison.
That's
like
right.
We went to see this Amish store over there the other day, and that Amish, he's still... They're over by Gladstone, they're in the prison too. They're in the prison of their own doing.
Mm-hmm.
These are all just prisons out there. If you don't follow the scriptures, because the scriptures were written for our benefit, God put that thing in the Bible. One faith, one baptism, and one God, and it's up to you and me to find that one faith that the Bible talks about. And lo and behold, by the grace of God, because we were persistent, we refused to give up until we found it, and we found that one faith. We found it out in Vancouver, and we found it in the Cloverdale Bible Way, and then I moved on. From there, it went to Brother Jackson, because Brother Branham had already passed away. Now that faith, that one faith, it moves over to sit under the umbrella of the Raymond M. Jackson ministry.
That's right.
The Lord took him off, but you and I kept moving on, because all of a sudden things come out that we could not identify with.
Mm-hmm.
They were not scriptural. James Allen comes along, tells us we're in the third day. Well, we had to make up a decision. We had to find out what we're going to do. Are we going to follow that, or are we going to stay with the Word? And the Lord, behold, the Lord told, give you the scripture to move on, to remember the things you've been taught, and separate yourself from those people that teach contrary to the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we did. And then, lo and behold, the Lord gave us the assignment. He said, who is then that faithful and wise servant? And see, we're just moving on. And the things that we have now, they are solid, they are firm, and they will take you right out to that glorious rapture. And then we got, like I say, we've only one message left, and that is invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The grace age is over. You can get baptized in Jesus 1,000 times. It's done, served its purpose. That part, that era is over. Now there's only one thing left. If you miss all that stuff that was involved to become part of the bride of Christ, you missed all that, but now there's only one thing left. The invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's your only exit route out of this hell that's coming here. That's just right before us. Might even blow up this year yet. Who knows? The way the things are in the earth, and now all you got to do is come on board, and that's for whosoever will let him come, and that includes that Leonard Decker. He built himself a humongous empire down there, and but see, spiritually speaking, he don't have nothing in him. And then
he builds
himself a religious empire too.
Uh-huh. Well, there is a saying. It says there are more tears shed over answered prayers than over unanswered prayers.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, be careful what you pray for and what you want in life, because God just might give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do then with it? And a lot of people, they come to a crossroads in their lives. It's either, do you want to go into the deeper things of God, or do you want to pursue your own dreams and aspirations? And that's where a lot of people go down, their own dreams and aspirations, instead of saying to God, thy will be done with my life. See, that's what I did on a colony. I said, you know what, I'm going to see what Jesus has for me, for my life. And then he takes you on a journey that he has created for you. And if I would have just said, you know what, I'm going to go do my own dreams and things, then you know, at the end of it all, there's going to be a lot of tears shed because mm-hmm. of that. Whereas unanswered ones, unanswered prayers, well, if you have your priorities right, you know, I believe, you know, God will really work everything out in your life for good. Everything that comes, even the bad things in your life, in the end work out for your benefit because you've pursued the things of God.
Yeah, it was kind of scary. Like, when I put myself on that Leonard shoe, and he's got all this property there now, and he's got, I think he's got 52 grandchildren, and all this material world, and it's actually scary what he has down there. That, because he's on this roller coaster and he can't get off, and mm-hmm. now he's up in age, and he might not have that much more to live, and what has he accumulated for himself and for his children and now for his offspring? What is it? Just a materialistic world out there, and it has absolutely no eternal value whatsoever. Like I say, it's scary. And before we left, I told him, I don't envy you one thing, Leonard. You could have it all. I don't want no part of it. I'm more or less telling him, if you would give me all that trade, all that, Sam, you can have all that for what you got. I would have said, no, I don't want it. You can give it to me. I want no part of it. Because imagine all the headaches to keep that machinery going, to keep all the intricate parts going. I told her there's a brain behind all that, and a lot of headaches, and a lot of heartaches, and it didn't just happen to be. You just had to sell your soul to materialism, and I sold my soul to the things of the Lord. I just said to the Lord, Lord, use us for your honor and for your glory. Do with us as you see fit, because I don't have the capacity. I don't have the understanding what's going on in the world about it. I just put my life in you. Thy will be done. And now he's given us this short, then he sent us down there, or we just went down there to see what's going on, and here we see, man, a living, he's got I'm sure he's a millionaire 10 times over, but what good is it? Like, if men's hearts are failing them for fear. You can mm-hmm. see the fear in his eye. They're not confident in what they got. So what did they do? They start up their own religious cult, and he's going to start, building a church over there. Well, it'll just be another Dave Wilder program. It'll just be another cult. It'll just be something. It won't be interconnected with the Seven Star, that's for sure. And he's going to eventually do that thing.
Yeah, people don't realize that, you know, there is a price for everything. Just like that rich young guy that came to Jesus, he had all the wealth that he could ever dream of. You know, he had everything he would want it, but in his soul, he knew there was something that's lacking. Because he came to Jesus and he asked him. He said, "What must one do?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments." And he said, "I've done that since my youth. I've kept all those since I was young," he said. Then Jesus said, "Yes, one thing you lack. There's one thing you lack. If you sell all your riches and give it to the poor and come and follow me." And that young guy, that rich guy, he had to leave downcast because he knew he could not do that. He could not let go of his riches and follow Jesus. See, those things can become a stumbling that they'll prevent you from actually entering into the kingdom of heaven. You know, these things can really prevent a person from reaching their potential in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, you know, all his life, he seems like even his whole demeanor, you could sense it is just like that rich guy. What lack I yet? There's something in him that's saying, "What lack I yet?" But that's exactly what Jesus would tell him.
Yeah, he says, "What lack I yet?" What does that letter do? He goes out and he builds up another business, or he builds another building. And then once that building is done, he still asks, "What lack I yet?" And then he starts up this building. this rental thing in town, and it's still that's still not what like I get. And then he goes down to Minnesota, and buys another business. What like I get? He won't. He keep on doing, and he'll keep on saying what like I get until he finds his satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no satisfaction in materialism. And I think back about when I invited him, let's go down to convention, I'll pay everything, you don't have to worry about it. But he was so intoxicated with materialism that he could not take time out to even look at it. And I was shocked because I knew I had this gold mine. I didn't know where it's all going, but I knew I was on the right track. I was en route to something that money can't buy. And he was shocked me that he was not interested because I volunteer, say, I'll pay for everything. I'll have you back 3-4 days. We'll be back, and you can at least you'll have found something that has eternal value. Well, he stayed at home, and he built up that business. I was shocked to see what all he has accumulated over these 30 years or so. If he would want to give it to me, I wouldn't take it because there's a lot of headaches involved and all that. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want no part of it. That's the story about that Leonard Decker. He decided he wants his materialism, and I don't know what all is involved, but I don't want no part of it. I made the right choice when I pursued that one faith, that one baptism, and that one God. And at that time, like I say, we were at one time, we were on the same page, but the truth keeps marching on, and we keep marching on with it. And that's just the long and short of it.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we give you thanks, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord. And we just go over these stories, Lord, and what we encounter in life, Lord, as a testament for people that face the same situations in life, where they come to a crossroad, and what are they going to do with their life? Are they going to pursue the things of God, or are they going to fill their own aspiration and their dreams, and where each road leads them to, Lord? So we just want to make it clear that this is not to talk bad about anybody, but just to give examples of where each path leads a person to. So we just want to leave it out there as a testament for people, Lord. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.